Hey Joey, guess what?
Huh?
You won Sexy Mamba Jamma.
Yes, this is true. And welcome to the Nimrod Horror Podcast. We sit, sip, and talk horror shit most of the time. I am Joey, and this is Leo.
No lie, you have been sit, sip, and talk horror shit, my good sir. You are making us need to change that slogan.
Well, I've been like, here's what happened this time. So, like, the funds were like a bit low, and I drank all my drink before, like a few days ago. And I was like, funds are kind of low, so I might have to skip on alcohol.
Do you have Zelly?
You mean Zell?
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone call it Zelly.
Well, I'm drunk. Do you have it? Yes or no?
I have like no. I tried to get it, but like it didn't accept my card. But I have like all the other ones, like the Cash Apps and the other ones. Can't think of their names. PayPal's.
Okay. Next time you need some cash for some beer. If it's for the podcast.
For the podcast.
Yes, because I will be asking for the receipt. And be like, we're going to be recording tonight. All right. I'm low on cash for beer. I'll be like, okay.
Well, that is taxable then, yeah. Or like whatever, put in your tax return.
And be like, well, here's $15. But my only thing is, you better not buy no fucking seltzer with it.
You know, I will. But we might see possibly about that one day. But yeah, so today we are talking about an
anthology film. And talk our shit. I'm sipping at least.
Oh yeah. So like Leo is sipping. I am not. What are you sipping on today, Leo?
As always, Mr. Leo is 100 for 100 accuracy on the alcohol drinking on this podcast. If anything, one of us is always sitting, sipping, and talking our shit. Without me, this podcast would be an entire lie.
It would be.
I am the one, the proud, the drunk one. Well, I am drinking, as mentioned before, I should have been drinking this on the last episode, is the Shiner Tex Hex. Huh?
You mean 2 episodes ago now? Because our last episode was the Nosferatu crossover special episode that came out earlier this week.
Yeah, so that's the last episode.
Maybe I heard you wrong.
Are you sure you're not drunk?
But go on. As you were, my good sir.
Yeah, Shiner Tex-Hex. This is what this is. It's a Texas beer. It is Indian Pale Ale. Brewed with cactus water. The cactus water part still freaks me out.
That seems weird.
Like, I actually want to pour this into something, see how it looks like. Hold on, Joey. I got a shot glass right here. I'm going to pour a little bit. Let's see how dark this looks. It's not even fucking dark.
I was thinking, like, it was going to be pretty light. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's fucking light as fuck. It needs some lemon juice.
The melon juice.
On weird fact, do you know that if you actually take a beer can and actually take shots off of it, the same amount of time that you would drink a beer, you would be fucked up way faster than you actually would just drinking that one beer?
As in, like, taking it shot style?
Yeah, like, say, how long, it would take me to drink a beer. Well, technically, if I wasn't talking or anything, it would take me about, okay, 30 seconds, but or less than that. But the fact of the matter is, if, like, let's say I'm holding a beer for, like, maybe we're having a conversation through the night, whatever, I drink about a beer in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
In those 20 minutes, you can do the same thing while taking shots, and it will fuck you up a lot faster.
Well, yeah.
You know why?
Because how it hits your body and stuff like that. And,
It's the air. When you take shots, you go, like, you take in air at the same time. Air actually makes alcohol stronger, more potent than it actually is.
No.
That's why sometimes people that drink beer faster don't get as fucked up as people that take their time drinking it.
Oh, but that, like, man, I a few weeks ago now.
Joey, you drink seltzers, so it's okay.
Oh, no. Like, no, like, this was me. This was a friend. He was drinking, like, 12 ounces worth of, like, I think we had Shiner, yeah. With Shiner, 12-ounce, you know, glasses. And, like he was drinking that each glass in the span of, like, 2 seconds. And that boy got messed up really, really quick.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. Believe it or not, what Shiner was he drinking?
What? Regular Shiner.
Regular Shiner. What was everybody else drinking? Oh, shit. No, shit. If I fucking take about, like, 12 shots back to back, of course I'm going to be shit-faced. Yeah. But I'm saying can of beer.
So we technically drink more than he did. But
yeah.
Longer time.
I mean, that's why beer is actually good for the long run.
Yeah.
What the hell was your point?
What was your point?
Aren't you the sober one?
You know what my point is? We watched a movie called Bad Candy.
And you know what? I am so sorry. I will apologize for this one.
This was Leo's pick.
My name is Leo. I have a movie problem. Leo, don't you have a drinking problem? Fuck you. I have a movie problem, okay? I like Corey Taylor. I like Slipknot. I like cheesy movies at points. I like cheesy movies that are not boring. This was a cheesy movie that was boring. It was way too long.
Yeah, this is, as like, if you're wondering why, like, Leo mentioned Corey Taylor, he is one of the stars in this movie. He plays this like DJ with the dumbest name, Chili Billy.
Hey.
This is that name.
That's you know what would have been funny? If he would have worn a beanie.
Yeah.
If he would have worn a beanie, that movie would have been one of the greatest movies of all time. Just for the stupidity factor. Stupidity factor.
But it would have been like a fun little thing. But then I would have gotten it. But like, he, with his, like, what's it called? What are they called? Not co-host. He's like his, like, engineer. Producer Paul, who is played by, I can never say his last name correctly, but Zach Galligan, you know, the Gremlins guy. Yeah, so like they're kind of like guiding you through this like a anthology type movie, and all the stories kind of connect, but
in one night kind of situation, in the same night kind of situation.
Yeah, it's kind of like trick or treat kind of, but
yeah,
not as good.
It's the poor man's trick or treat.
Yeah,
it's the what's the Walmart brand? It's a Walmart brand trick or treat.
Great value.
Yeah, it's the Great Value trick or treat movie. But see, for that part, I don't mind it as much. Like, I think this movie works if you're watching it on Halloween night. I think I would give it a shot on Halloween because you're on the Christmas and the Halloween spirit. This movie does have a lot to do with, like, kind of has to do with it. I think the only thing that did it was the fucking clown that came up in every damn movie, in every little short story. But what I feel that hurt this movie a lot was its length. It had, like, the one, and I think the hurt really, really came 100% was from the very first story. That was legit
20 minutes
intro. Yeah, and it's the intro to the movie. And it's one of the situations where, like, okay, there's a dude starts off driving down, he's fucking drinking, and he runs over somebody. And right off the bat, when you see, like, the blood, I was like, CGI blood. Like, that's already the...
And, like, this movie, overall, the CG, it just doesn't look that good in this movie, just, like, overall.
No.
Because you see it a handful of times throughout it. But, go.
So, like, you begin the movie, you see that. The dude run over the guy. He's fucking drinking and everything. And then, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is, like, kind of the beginning. I feel like that should have been the intro to the movie. And then the bad candy thing should have popped up. But you never see the name title till, 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
And then
after, like, the first story is done.
And then you have the story where, like, the girl's, like, drawing and her drawings come to life. But yet, here's the thing.
That's the first story, yeah.
But, like, here's my thing on the whole thing. And I wrote the damn thing's name, by the way. And I don't remember because it's an extra scene with him. Already spoiling enough, but... So, the girl... draw something, and then her friend tells her, why are you doing that? You know what happened the last time. Makes you question some things.
Yeah.
And then we go to the scene where, like, her stepdad's, like, calling her, texting her, get your ass home. She picks him up, and we find out it's the guy that ran over the other guy. And then they go home, and then, like, she's drawing, you find this little butterfly looking thing, and that's when I was like, oh man, this CGI is god awful. And then you have a little puppet thing, whatever the hell. He has a name, by the way.
It's like Maku or something like that. Maku, it's like MAKU or something like that, like MOKU. He's like a little goblin creature. Because like, she was going to, like, trick-or-treat with her friends. Now her, like, stepdad, I honestly thought this film was going to go super dark there. That he's abusive, yeah. But, like, I thought he was going to go to that next level. Like, I thought this movie was about to go super dark. I was like, oh, my God, they're going to, like, touch on this. Because, like, the girl's just, like, I think, like, 10 or 12 or so, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't go in that direction.
Kind of good. I mean, we can leave live, like, actual horrors to the actual horror, like, situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like horror always should touch on something, but not too much into something.
see what you mean. But I honestly thought that the fact that she like drew stuff and it came to life, I found that a little corny. I was like, oh, this is.
I felt like I was watching a Nickelodeon movie.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like,
not a Disney movie, a Nickelodeon movie.
Jim Henson type like movie, something like from the 80s or something like that. But yeah, I was not a big fan of that idea.
And then to me, this was like the fucked up part. Like the dad's all drunk. He like opens the door and he sees the little boy, you know, like old goblin looking thing, you know, a little puppet looking thing. And he's like, just fucking kicks it out the way, like, and he kills it. And then like when he squishes it, when he squishes the fairy, like it's like all like, you know, like fluorescent fucking juice. Yeah. And he's like, do you not remember what happened the last time? Do you not remember anything? Like, why do you keep doing this? And it's like, so this shit happened before? No one called. Wait, I'm pretty sure the United States government would have been involved in this. And this shit was like true. You know what I mean? Because it's not that it's not just that her dad knew, but her friends were like, why are you drawing? Why are you doing this? Earlier before that.
Well, like, it could be like one of those things that they all know that, like, if she's they
capable tell, of.
Yeah, that if they tell, like, anybody else that then, like, the government might seize her and, like, kidnap her or like, whatever. So maybe they're like, yeah, we're just gonna, like, let her do her thing, but we just don't want her to do it.
Bruh, would you be showing up drunk and abusing this girl? Fuck that.
Of course not. But like, you know, not. So like you're kind of thinking, okay, that's her stepdad. Where's her mom? We do find out her mom died. What?
She did.
Yeah. They don't say how she died, but again, that doesn't really matter.
I don't know. I kind of want to know why, because her stepdad was kind of like, you know, when step parents act the way he did, it's kind of one of those situations where like, you did it.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, like, okay, well, here's my okay. Besides this story, which is about 20 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Too damn long.
What?
Too damn long.
But yeah. Here's one of my problems with this whole movie in general. There's like eight different little stories going on. And there's a problem with having so many little stories is it's lacking story development. Because like usually in these type of films, it's like maybe three to four short films. This is like eight or so. And some of them go by in like a few minutes, and it's like, okay, it was just a little random story or so. But with this one being so long, and it seemed like they were kind of telling you a lot of background story without telling you anything, that does kind of ruin it too. Because as like Leo was saying, that yeah, usually when like step parents act like that, you know, there's some tragedy that like happened to his wife, to her mom, that maybe the kid did actually kill her mom accidentally while drawing something, or because like maybe this guy wasn't like a drunk before, maybe he was an outstanding citizen, and you know he just snapped after she died, but. But
it just makes you think, and then we have no resolve to it.
Yeah, exactly. And we're never gonna find out, probably. But
because he did.
Yeah, like she like draws her mom as, which is like she draws her mom like in the span of like 3 seconds. which is out of control.
Dude, that's... yes, those are things that bothered me. How the fuck did she draw so quick?
And yeah, she comes back as this, like, this, like, demon banshee type thing.
Wait, you know what we probably saw? Her dad's point of view mentality. You know, he's drunk, so he blacks out in and out. Give her enough time to actually draw the drawing.
Maybe so, I guess.
I mean,
that's a possibility.
I'm just trying to save this bullshit.
But yeah, after all that, we finally get the title, Bad Candy.
No, hold on. The scene where she's like, I'm gonna take your soul. Well, she didn't do the whole Evil Dead moment thing, but, you know, like, she's grabbing her stepdad and, like, fucking sucking his soul out. It literally looked like she was taking out some, like, some purple stuff. Not ectoplasm.
Yeah, and that looked
horrendous. Terrible. Yes, yeah. Horrendous. We've seen some bad movies in our time. We enjoy some bad movies in our time. But this was CGI that you cannot get behind. No matter if it's good, bad, or so bad it's good kind of CGI. You can't get behind this.
Yeah. Because, like, this is the type of CGI that could work if it's, like, a 1990s sci-fi original movie. Or, like, it's a over the top kind of like cheesy comedy that's purposely putting this bad CG in it. This is neither one of those things. One thing, this is like now when we really get to see Corey Taylor interact with Paul, aka Zach. Now, I've seen Corey in one other movie prior to this, and I think it was his very first film. It was Fair Clinic from like 2009 or 2010, something like that.
I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I have to say, he was horrendous, like, in that movie. Like, in this movie, he got some, like, some better acting chops now. He's still not, like, a great actor, but...
Actually, you know what? I will give it to Corey. I didn't think that he would put up the performance that he did in this film.
I didn't either, because, like I said, like, the last time I saw him in the movie,
yeah, he was... you seen him in something previous, but even me, like, I've never seen him in any acting job besides the Rollerball movie. Do you remember Rollerball?
I didn't see it, but...
Dude, it was just Slipknot playing in the background.
Okay. That doesn't count then.
I mean, technically, they were still acting like they were playing.
I guess that's true.
It's like a music video type situation.
But I do have a hot take. I got a hot take involving Corey Taylor.
What the fuck is this? iCarly? Come down.
And I think this is something that, like, I have personally never heard anyone say this. But I'm just going to say it. And if this is a hot take, this is a hot take. Or to me, this is true. I don't know how to properly word this exactly, but...
All right, I'll do it. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Why does he have his gap at the bottom teeth and not his top teeth?
Oh, no, that's a hot take, but here it is. I think Corey Taylor helps out horror more than Rob Zombie. And he supports horror more than Rob Zombie. Now, Rob Zombie does a lot for the horror community. Mm-hmm. And he makes movies. He directs them. But what, like, Corey Corey does, he's more of the independent guy. Like, he's always wearing, like, t-shirts of, like, stuff like, Pool Massacre? I forgot the name of it now. It's a good movie, but, like, he's in a handful of these independent movies. He's very supportive of this, like movement. When you look at Rob Zombie, it just seems like he's really just promoting himself. He's like, this is my movie. Go out and, like, watch it. It seems like Corey's more like, hey, I like this movie quite a lot, guys. Check it out, you know. Type thing.
I agree to disagree. Like, I don't disagree in a bad way. I actually understand what you're saying. Like,
yeah.
I do understand what you're saying. I just feel Rob Zombie just promotes, like, what he grew up with. And yeah. Corey Taylor is actually someone who opens his horizons to other stuff. If that makes sense.
It does.
Not dissing anyone, I think that both of them are doing good to horror. Sometimes you do need the big ones to come up, but it's amazing that Corey does, like, the independent stuff.
All right. So the second story in this Bad Candy is about a older gentleman who does the old classic, puts, like, razors and poison into candies. And this is, like, when you start to really notice, like, the main, I guess, you can't really call him a villain, because he's kind of a vigilante type character.
His name is Bad Candy, by the way.
Yeah.
And the thing is, before we got into that, it was actually my favorite scene in the movie. In this movie, yeah. I feel like there was one good cinematography point of view to this film. And it began in the beginning. It was where you had, like, the Bad Candy, like, transition. And remember when the kids were telling in the treehouse, they're like, oh, like, go away. Like, he was smashing their pumpkins.
Yeah.
And then he goes off to go trick-or-treating. And then he goes to this house and he's, like, pouring all the candy. He's like, well, I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm like, I remember watching that film and I was pissed. I'm like, you disrespectful, you piece of shit. I don't like saying this to kids, but I actually said this about this kid. I hope you die. Like, I hope your life ends. And then, like, he goes to the back. And, like, the clown pops up. But, like, when he does, like, the clown does the whole, like, standing in front of him with, like, the pumpkins around him, and his fingers are long, like Nosferatu. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he turns his ass into a toy, you know, kind of like Ernest Scared Stupid style.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Halloween movies of all time. Just putting it out there. Apparently, some people don't like that movie. Just saying.
I like that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I
forgot about that story.
Huh?
You forgot about that story.
That was, like, I consider that in this the same story as kind of the first one. Yeah, I guess that is a separate story, yeah. There's so many little stories in this, it's ridiculous. Right, so it's pretty much like every little character in this film has their own side story. But I wanted to like touch on some, because you mentioned the cinematography. Now, that's one thing that I did actually like about this movie. The directing wasn't too great, but the way the film overall looks, like the lighting, stuff like that, and they overall do a really good job of making it feel like Halloween. Because, I mean, there's a handful of, like, movies that take place on, like, Halloween, and they just, like throw some pumpkins or like, jack-o'-lanterns around. They put, like, skeletons up. But it doesn't give you that Halloween feeling. This movie does overall do a good job of making you kind of get in that spirit of Halloween. But,
you know, this movie actually reminded me of the, what's it called, the Halloween Tree? I think we talked about this
before. Yeah, kind of.
Like
the Hollow Tree.
Or something like that.
Wait, I think they're... Yeah, wait. Are you talking about the movie that has like the tree with like the jack-o'-lantern face on it? Or are you talking about
one? Yeah. No, like where the pumpkins are on the tree, or like the tree, like, and if it falls, that means they would die.
Okay, yeah.
It's an animated movie. And okay, yeah. I remember watching that movie and like my heart would always fucking drop to its fucking, like I was fucking 4 or 5 years old about to have a heart attack.
I feel like I've seen that movie.
It used to come on Channel 20 on UPN.
Yeah.
On every Halloween.
Were like the kids riding bicycles a lot?
Yes.
Okay.
And they would like meet, like they would go to all the countries to understand what Halloween was.
Yeah.
Like they went to El Dia de los Muertos, but their friend had actually died, and they're following his spirit through the whole thing. That's the thing people don't understand. That's how that shit was back in the day. They actually had a dead kid lead this group of 4 or 5 to through this ghost. Yeah. Like, dude, when you think about it, it's like, what the fuck? No wonder they don't show it no more.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it was actually called the Halloween Tree. I think that was the name. Yeah. I haven't thought about that movie in a long time. Because I haven't seen it in a long time.
That might be. You know what, I'll buy 2 copies of it if I find it. I'll send one to your house, one to me. Great. And that's going to be our Halloween special. It has to be.
That's a good idea. You know what? Yeah, we're calling it now. That is the Halloween special. It is a Halloween Tree or whatever it's called. But I think that's its title. Gotta check. But yeah, that's a good comparison. Oh, so speaking of Bad Candy, he is kind of this like demonic looking clown thing, and as Leo mentioned, he has these long fingers, Nosferatu style. He looks overall pretty good, and I think the makeup for like the creatures do look pretty good, and that's why. That's what hurts the fact that you have this like great makeup department and effects team. Why are you using this bad CG? You know, it's just practical, weird.
Practical effects would have worked so amazing on this film.
Yeah. And it would have like, it may have made me kind of sway into liking it, because I was like, well, you know what? At least they have practical effects, and you know what? It's okay, but. But because they were overall a weak story overall and everything else, and then you throw in the CG, the bad CG, it's like, oh, okay, this is like the final straw to it all, you know?
Yep.
And this,
honestly, yeah. What is there to say about the other films?
Not, I say film, like, too much.
like it's not saying like films, but it's
like the connecting story, whatever.
Yeah. So you had a, you had the girl with the drawings, you had the guy with the, that was putting razors into, make sure you check your, yeah. But the thing is, it culminates to the ending in some sense. The thing is, the only thing that makes sense is the ending.
Yeah, and that's, man,
No, yeah. Before we get to the ending, we still got it.
Yeah, we got it. So, like,
we can breeze through these, like, though. We can breeze through these.
Oh, yeah. There's, because that's what the movie does, too.
But we have in this, like, a long way.
Some of them, but, like, some were kind of really quick. Like, the drug dealer one was, like, pretty quick. And, like...
Hold on. The drug dealer one pissed me off. That's where the CGI 100% pissed me off.
Okay, yeah. 100%, yeah.
Dude got stabbed in the ear, and then, like, he's, like, fucking just looking like that. And then when it, like, it just squirting out, I'm like...
Yeah, it looks really bad. Just
it is, dying, it is a horrible squirt.
It is.
And we're not talking about, like, it's splattering. It just looks like a tiny little...
Yeah. But that drug dealer is played by... one, Mr. Ryan Kessler, who was the villain in the movie Truth or Dare, which we talked about in like episode 8 or something like that. It's a great movie. He's a pretty good actor.
I was just seeing him as a malnourished Jared Leto.
I guess you could say that, yeah. That's like his like look. So, and it works. I guess kind of, yeah. Then we get one of my favorite stories kind of like happens after that. That's with like the girl Abby, who is dressed up as a nurse. Now I'm confused on what she actually does for like a living, but she goes to this morgue. I don't know how. I guess she works in the morgue.
Hold on. She works there. She got a text message from her coworker. Says, it's a 911. Can you take over for me? Blah, blah, blah. So she leaves her whole, like, the party. And that's what I'm saying. Like, scenes like that, like, her leaving the party are too damn long. They are unnecessary. Like... You could have done other little things because you were setting up the other stories. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like they were writing these scenes like way apart from each other, and they don't remember what they wrote before that.
Well, I kind of think a little bit different, that I feel that they thought that they were being clever with it. They're like, hey, what if we like show like this Uber driver for like a second, and like you'll be like, okay, he's gonna come up later, and then like you'll be like watching it and like, oh, that's that guy that we saw 20 minutes ago. It all makes sense now. But it's like, you don't need to do that.
They pretty much did all the stories and edited it wrong.
Yeah, and
they had the right idea, but they edited everything wrong.
Yeah,
that's. I feel like that's the problem with the movie. The fact of the matter is, old girl went to her fucking job and then she fucked a corpse, or was trying to fuck a corpse after she took the pills from old guy.
And you know,
a sex scene out of this. So I think, were you aroused by it, John?
Well, of course. That's good.
Wait a minute.
But I was thinking that, you know, it's because, like, okay, so I get necrophilia, I guess, is a thing for some people. But it seems really difficult for a girl to get into necrophilia, because if it's a corpse, how is the dude going to get hard?
Maybe she's a lesbian?
But then I was thinking, like, maybe she's just really into the idea of, like, doing it, that it just turns her on so much that she gets an orgasm from it all.
But she took a drug.
Yeah. But, like...
maybe the drug was the one stimulating her senses.
So.
That's actually the right terminology to the whole thing.
It's true. But yeah, she gets like locked in the freezer. She gets her comeuppance by this bad candy character. Yeah, bad candy is basically, like Sam. I said, he... what?
Sam.
Yeah, he's kind of like Sam, kind of like a vigilante type, kind of making sure all these bad people get their comeuppance, and it kind of goes to the ending some. Yeah, it's kind of breezed through these a little bit.
You have the girl that was in the closet with the guy that she used to know in middle school. Oh, yeah. And everything. She goes home. That dude's breaking into her house. And it's like, oh, he's like hunting her down. Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. When old boy was kicking her in the stomach, I got mad.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, hit that boy. Fuck old boy up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And I think that was one kind of good part too, because like
first place she hit was the nuts.
Like, it's good to like get that emotion going from your audience. So like, that was one time that this movie worked really well, because like I also got like angry about that. So that's good that like. You wanted to see this character die, like, and you know, so that's always a plus side. Classic. Leo has brought out his classic tequila,
18.
And then we got. Oh yeah, I was talking about that. Think this.
I just want to apologize to old boy Joey. I've been having some bad candy on today's episode.
It's cool. They won't know about it. It's edited out. then we go to this, what might be like my favorite story, actually, is probably this one, where like, you have these group of guys, they're like whatever, in their 40s or like late like 30s. One's a kind of an Uber driver. He's dressed up as Dracula, and they go out every Halloween dressed up as like Universal Monster characters.
Oh, which, yeah.
Which is like kind of cool. One guy's Wolfman, other guy's the Mummy. The other guy is a Frankenstein's monster. Anyway, what they're doing is basically collecting bad people. Like they get this pimp, they get this prostitute, and they have a handful of other people that we don't really know what they did wrong. But they did something wrong to like get them there. And they strip these people down to their underwear, and they put jack-o'-lantern like masks on them, and they basically are saying, hey, you know, you guys were not living a like good life, you guys were hurting people, so here's your chance of like redeeming yourself.
Hey Joey,
if
you want to play a game,
kind of like that. Because one of their friends, the Mummy friend, he is, what do you call,
got fucked over by the U.S. government.
I guess you could say that. Like, he can, like, transform into this winged demon creature who looks, again, the makeup looks really good on him, and he kind of looks like the djinn.
Makeup looks good, but his wings.
Wings look good jacked up.
Nah, bruh. Man. You know, I'm Hispanic, so I say my sabanas look exactly the same way, bruh. You know what sabanas are?
Look pretty good.
Hold on, you know what sabanas are?
I don't know.
My bed sheets. Look.
I think the wings look pretty darn good. But yeah. But the overall character kind of looks like the djinn from the Wishmaster series. But yeah, so they tell this group, hey, if you can like run out to pass this whatever line it was, you can live and blah blah blah. Most of them are like murdered.
They're ex-soldiers.
Well, yeah.
They're ex-soldiers. And even the fact that, like, when they went to go get the pimp, like, old boy went to the gas station, and we had already seen, like, one of the hookers there before. And, like, she was like, oh, my Uber's right here, is whatever. She picks her up, takes her, whatever, and he's like, well, like, what do you do for a job, blah, blah. And she's, like, trying to make fun of him, but the thing, whatever. Like, well, I want to meet a pimp. And then takes her, like, she takes him to go meet the pimp. And it goes out, down, and it turns into a very early Jean-Claude Van Damme film.
Yeah.
To say it like that. That's all I can say about that scene, to be honest. It's what was the old boy's name?
I forgot, like, anyone's
trying to name. Think of, I'm trying to think of the cheap actors from, used to watch in Channel 39 back in the day on a CW on a Saturday mornings type of fighting.
Oh, yeah. But,
so honestly, it turns to that. They shoot down the pimp down, shoot his ass. Old boy's like, you had the gun the whole time? It was like a comedy. I felt like that was a comedy routine.
Yeah, because like I like honestly thought that those like four guys that like played those characters, they had like really good chemistry with each other.
Which was the best part of the movie. Period.
Yeah, again, that's what I was like. This was overall the best story, in my opinion, too. But yeah, as I was saying, this winged creature thingy pretty much kills all of them except for one person.
That made it.
Yeah.
And we see him even after the end credit scenes.
Yeah.
Trying to call his mama.
Which was kind of funny, too. Because, like, yeah, that, like, if they made a movie about those guys, I think it would be pretty good, maybe.
No.
I think so. You know, obviously.
For a story that's in.
Give it, like more of a story, but, you know.
Honestly, I would love to probably hear what the fuck happened to them to make them get to that point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, give like, the whole, like, story, you know, not just that one thing that they do.
Okay, for them to do that kind of shit, I feel like they probably lived it.
Well, they went to the military, so I'm guessing. I
understand. They probably got like, you know, captured and had to go through the whole spear thing.
I don't know about that. I think they just kind of got like a little bit fucked up during like military, and they were like, hey, these people really should be be grateful and like treat people nice. We need to like teach them a lesson and change this world, you know, or change the U.S. because they did mention that, you know.
What do you guys think? Joey's or mine? Leave it in the comment below.
Yeah, if you've seen this movie and such. But yeah, and then this is when, basically after that story, that's basically when we get Paul's background story, that he was involved in a prank gone wrong. You know, classic kind of 80s.
Oh, by the way, going back to the guys that were like, you know, making the guys run around the field. Yeah. One of the guys that had the devil mask is the one that stabbed the old boy in the head.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
So,
Yeah. It's another kind of like thing. You're like, hey. Okay. But,
And I'm here with no notes. I'll just dab it right there.
Yeah, like when I saw that, I was kind of like, "That's cool, I guess." But it was again with this movie, they put so much of that in this movie that it to me, I just stopped caring about seeing. Oh, like, oh, hey, that's that person we saw before.
You know, no, but the thing is, this movie took too long.
Yeah, like, oh, so we have mentioned this movie's long, but we haven't talked about the time. This movie is like 1 hour and 43 minutes, I think it is, or 150 minutes. I mean, like 1 hour and 53 minutes, I think it is. Way too long for a horror movie, and way too long for a movie like this. But yeah, so we get to Paul's background story. Which is the main driving force, basically, of how this whole bad candy thing, I guess, got to happen. Which this is, okay, I'll be honest, at this point of the film, I was starting to really not care about anything about this movie. I was like, I just want to get this movie over with. Because it keeps on dragging on. It just won't end. And we get this big story that should have been told a lot earlier, not at the point where you're not caring about anything anymore. So Paul, as a child, him and his friend convinced this one kid to go into this, I guess, what they call it, like a haunted house or like
empty house. You gotta say it right, bro. Corey Ted has been saying these. Oh, Chili Billy has been saying these stories for the whole movie.
We already said that, yeah.
So the fact is, he got a phone call to name. You gotta shut it up, bro.
I mean, like I said, at this point, I didn't care about this movie anymore.
Kind of, it's a namesake because the power went out.
Yeah.
Because of the incident with the guys trying to kill the people in the fields.
Yeah.
Power went out. So, you know, they bring back the power. And then you have a woman saying that this is not how the story went. Don't blah, 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 you know. Chili Billy has his story from a very good source.
But also, one thing with like Chili Billy, which he had, like he says like several times throughout this film, he always takes a different spin on the original story. He kind of like oversells it.
This was the story. Because yeah, it was like a house uptown, like up north that no one talks about. You know, she's like, my friend has talked about this house, blah, blah, blah. And like, I have. Like, Corey's like, I have a friend.
The hill.
that has an exclusive on it. So he said his story. And that's where the story was coming from.
Yeah.
You get to the Chili Billy story. But then, as it goes, while the record's playing and the place catches fire, just like the house did in the story.
Yeah, so like basically, the daughter
of the woman who was actually there actually calls to tell them the story to finish it off. So, as you were.
Yeah, so like basically, it's
that's the best story of the movie, period. No. To be honest, it is. I like ghost stories. That's why it was the best story.
It's another part that kind of drags me to, yeah, because like Corey does talk about the house on the hill story, which is when like these paranormal investigators went into the house that like burned down and like burnt that kid, which I forgot the kid's name, but like so these paranormal investigator, the main female, she's kind of going back and forth seeing what happened back in the 80s or like the 70s,
and the camera catches it, by the way.
The infrared camera catches like the ghost kid inside the house. But then like the main girl kind of goes back and forth to like the past and the current, during her time, and they kind of show you what happens because like Paul and his friend send this kid in to like retrieve some like old comic books that the couple left behind in their basement, and then he can hang out with them later. Which I guess a kid would do, a geeky kid would do, trying to like hang out with the cool kids. I guess that's possible. But he accidentally starts a fire and he gets trapped inside the house and he basically is burned alive, I guess you would say. That's a quick thing.
Her mom tried to save him and everything, you know. It's weird. Like, you have to watch it. Like, yeah, honestly, that whole thing is kind of weird to explain.
This whole ending part, even basically when like Bad Candy goes after Paul, it's even when like watching it, I was
No. Bad Candy doesn't go after Paul.
Didn't he go after Paul? Or like,
oh, it's his revenge. No, Bad Candy goes after Corey Taylor when he's outside. Like Corey, like Billy makes it out of the Billy went to go try to save Paul and like couldn't get to him. Save him, like everything's already burning. He goes outside and then Bad Candy's coming up to him,
and this is like the dumbest part ever coming up. But
the thing is, it kind of goes back to the beginning of the movie when she ripped the page, and because the old girl had actually drawn it.
Yeah, so like basically Bad Candy looks like he's about to like murder Corey Taylor, and you're like, okay, Chili Billy is gonna die right here. Okay, cool, I guess. But then right before the Bad Candy's about to kill him, that's when that drawing girl rips the page that she drew Bad Candy on, and I just thought that was a really bad ending. Like, what?
But the thing is, if you think about it, it kind of goes...
Again, yeah.
When did it happen? What happened? When, what happened? Everything connects in this movie, but when did things actually happen? Because remember, the girl that got kicked, and then the guy that robbed her while they were in the closet, he was actually like, you know, like he got wrapped up, choked to death, and then like his head went out that way, and then his body parts went that way. Nothing had happened like that. But the thing is, someone innocent got protected. Why? Because it was her friends. Do you get it now?
Again, like, everybody gets it. It's just that I just don't think they executed it too well. It's like,
it made sense at the end. Like, it made sense at the end.
Yeah, it.
I think
it makes sense, but like
the execution is actually not that bad.
It feels like you're starting to really like this movie now.
I'm actually about to start. I'm actually raising my rate up.
Yeah. So to me, I kind of hated the fact.
It's stupid, and it's. I want to say a word that I normally say, but I don't want to say. But you know, it's good. It's not good. I'm neutral on this movie. I'm neutral on this movie at this point. I was about to drop a two on it.
I just felt like getting rid of bad candy like that was just. It's like they didn't have a way to finish the film. Like, hey, why would we just... That was just a drawing that she made up in the beginning. Cool, guys. Okay, cool.
But they didn't get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, she just ripped the page, but then...
No, did you see the ending credits?
Yeah. But again, that's kind of like basically saying, hey, watch out what you do, because you never know who's watching and who could go after you for like treating people wrong.
Is that the point? And
it kind of like showed bad candy.
Is that the point of the movie?
What's that?
Is that the point of the movie?
It's the point of the movie. What?
Is that the point of the movie?
Well, yeah. Basically that.
So yeah. They actually put the point in.
Treat people right and what, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or else someone like a bad candy could be after you. They were showing bad candy just to kind of represent a vigilante type
or creature. Sam.
Yeah, or Sam type character who could, you know, follow you and like hurt you for like hurting other people. That doesn't necessarily mean that like bad candy was back. It was just representing something that could take you down as like karma. So like bad candy's representing karma in that scene. I guess throughout the entire film he is, but like he was a physical thing at the time. And then we get credit during credit scenes and a post credit scene,
which are funny.
Yeah, because like, the credit scenes are pretty funny, and there are some like kind of blooper type things also in there,
mm-hmm.
which I like the prostitute ones. That was pretty good. They were talking about getting shit on to get like a boob job, and like how many shits do you have to take? She said maybe like 10 more shits and I'll get like my boob job. It's kind of funny. And at the very end, which I think we mentioned it, like the little girl digs up her old goblin creature that she drew earlier, Maku or whatever.
And he does the
little like half from the grave kind of carry style, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, that is bad candy. Before we get to ratings, anything else you want to touch on it?
I think it was not as bad as it was. Just be honest. It's not as bad as I thought it was. I actually it's talking about terrible. It. Actually, you know what? You helped me on that one. Thank you.
Every so often, talking about a movie does like make it better. To me, it did not this time. There's been like previous movies where I thought a movie, where I realized a movie was better than what it actually was.
All right, so then you can go first. What's your rating, Mr. Joey?
Okay, for me, I was deliberating between two different numbers, so I'm going to go in the middle with these two. I'm going to go a 3.5 out of 10.
3.5.
Yeah, for the reasons I like mentioned earlier. Bad CGI, weak story. And there actually were some dialogue issues that I had that were just kind of like, who wrote this, you know? But
you talk like that half the time, though.
That's different. I'm kind of like my own movie character. I'm just kidding. But what do you give it, Mr. Leo?
I give it a 3.
You said that you were like neutral about this movie. Neutral is like 5.
Guess what? If I would have said anything different, you would have made me go first.
Like, it doesn't matter now.
There we go.
So you think this movie's bad then? 3 is like beyond failing.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I looked at it as positives, but the negatives way more. The negatives blitzkrieged the positives horribly.
I definitely plan on never watching this film ever again. So
you and me both.
So it's recommendation time. You want to go first? What do you got?
Any anthology movie than this. That's unless fair. It's
there are some bad ones out there, so.
Yeah, unless it's you know what? All Hallows Eve.
Good one.
And the reason I say it is because my boy Art the Clown is coming back in October.
Yep. Should be a good one. That's a good one. Since we are talking about a movie with Corey Taylor, for my recommendation, I decided to go with the music route. Another guy who fronted or still does metal music. He was the former Black Sabbath singer. He's a Black Sabbath singer that a lot of people don't realize he was with Black Sabbath for like 14 years. I think he was actually the longest Black Sabbath singer. Maybe Ozzy beats him out if you count the reunion years, but I'm talking about the one and only Tony Martin. Tony Martin was with the band from the mid 80s through
what singles you got from him?
Huh?
I don't know what guy. What singles you got from
him? So
singles, man. Come on. Let's do this.
Yeah, his biggest single during his Black Sabbath time would be Headless Cross, which is a great song. But the thing is, if you ask most U.S. Black Sabbath fans, or Black Sabbath fans just in general, because whenever I meet a Black Sabbath fan, and I talk to them and they express that they really like Black Sabbath, I always ask them, do they know Tony Martin? they never know Tony Martin. Now, when I first got into Black Sabbath, Tony Martin was their singer. And that's why I probably love him more than most people. But anyway, my whole point about this is Tony Martin has just released a brand new solo record. It's called Thorn. It's on all the streaming platforms. Check it out. It is a pretty heavy record. It doesn't really sound like Black Sabbath because it doesn't have that riff driven stuff. It's more just like generic kind of like heavy metal sound. There's a few kind of ballady songs, not ballads, but like kind of slower songs, but overall a very great record. Heavy stuff on it, and like Tony's vocals are still really strong. So yeah, check that album out. Tony Martin, Thorn. Check it out. And I'll start with my social medias. You can find me, old Joey, on the Instagram at Nimrod Horror. And I'm going to put this out there again. Find me on the Snappies if you want to Snapchat. Snapchat. Hit that Snapchat. Find me at Joey from 32 of 32. Yeah, boy. Okay. Where can people find you, Mr. Leo?
You can find me at 1-900. Or you can find me at XX. Man, even that sounds bad.
That does.
Leo R2D2XX.
All right. And for the entire Nimrod Horror Podcast, you can find us at Nimrod Horror Podcast, one word, the Instagram, Facebook, and don't forget, like, subscribe, comment, ring that bell for notifications on our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/Nimrod Horror Podcast. We'll be back on there. By the time this comes out, we should have a video up from there for the first time in a while. Getting back to that format. It's been a while. But yeah.
Don't fucking do that fucking... What's that name of that band? I don't Stay. Like that band.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, same.
Cold, I can go with, but don't do no damn. I feel like an old man right now. Anyway,
same.
Man, I'm cold, but you can't do none of that same stuff about him, you know.
But yeah. Next episode. It is our St. Patty's Day special, so grab your green beer and get your cheers going, because we will be talking about the full moon movie, Unlucky Charms, which you can find on Tubi, so you can watch it for free, y'all. And then you can hear us talking about the movie after watching it. So quite the St. Patrick's Day treats for you guys. I'm Joey. That's Leo, I guess.
Did you just literally talk about fucking and a damn movie and que no sé qué?
What?
Exactly. Your lucky charms y que no sé la chingada madre. No mames, güey.
I don't know, man. I don't know Spanish. But yeah, we're out for this time. See you guys next time, because I'm Joey.
I'm being held hostage, by the way.